Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host Maxine on episode 314. Ooh, bars. Speaking of bars, I know you've been waiting. I know my opinion has been at the forefront of your head regarding this Kendrick versus Drake battle. I've gathered my notes. One thing about me, I think I've revealed this in the previous episode. I am a chat nigga. If you know, you know. Meaning, I follow academics, DJ academics, or just academics. I know he's trying to move away from the DJ part. Nonetheless, I'm a big fan of his work. I like how he streams. I like that he's a solo streamer. And I know he occasionally had, not even occasionally, pretty regularly, but for the most part, he does it on his own. And I like that he has his own schedule. It's admirable. It's admirable considering I am a fellow one person show. And it's just pretty awesome seeing other people do it as well. Like when Wendy Williams, when she was well, seemingly at least, and she had her show. I loved it. I love that she carried it on her own. It's pretty dope. So anyway, I am a chat nigga. And that's what he calls his fans. Not his fans, but like the people who interact with him. His subscribers, his supporters. He's very humble about it too, I would say. Like, I know sometimes he comes across. Anyway, I'm trying to act like a damn DJ academics apologizer. But nonetheless, he's very entertaining. And I was tuned in to his streams every hour by the hour, every minute by the minute during this battle. He's actually supposed to be coming on. One thing I don't like about him, though, is he'll say, I guess we have that in common. He'll say he's about to be live in like an hour, and the hour will come and go, and he's nowhere near live. Well, anyway, here we are. Let's discuss. So I think KDOT is the proclaimed winner here. What I can appreciate about his contribution to this battle, I think he's very lyrical miracle. I mean, we already knew this about Kendrick Lamar, and we knew that he would bring us down to slavery time. Like, he has a way of making things more serious than a Drake would. Drake has never made any political stance regarding anything. He hasn't come forward and talked about, you know, what's that kid that got Trayvon Martin? You know, like, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but the point is, Drake is not the hard, you know, I've had a rough life and I've been through racism time and time again type of black man, type of black rapper. Same with Lil Wayne. Like, Lil Wayne has said he is totally ignorant to these types of political conversations. So please miss me when you think I should contribute or say something. And I know a lot of people have interesting perspectives on this, like, oh well, I want to hear what Drake has to say. I want to hear what he has to say about Palestine and Israel. And it's like, no, I don't. Like, these rappers who we find very entertaining because of their music don't need to give a declaration on how they feel about Gaza. I'm not looking for Drake for Drake's opinion on this matter. Like, I don't give a that's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear about Palestine and Hamas. And speaking of that, I am a black woman here in America. And I know what I'm about to say may sound insensitive because it's like, oh, well, you have your own strife in America. You should be understanding to what's going on outside of America. To an extent, I am. To an extent, I am. But when it becomes to a point when it is getting in the way of regular life, when people are being blocked because of these quote pro-Palestine supporters, they're on the streets, they're making a ruckus. They're making a ruckus. And they're preventing you from getting to point A to point B, from point A to point B. They're preventing you from going to your workplace. They're preventing you from working. There is something that I saw on X of this black traffic, this black truck driver who drives the truck for his job. And he is being stopped by these pro-Palestine supporters. Let me go ahead and share this clip because I was totally upset for him. You know, and I just feel like at this point, the people who are protesting and trying to come off so virtuous and I'm going to kill myself if the war in Palestine doesn't stop. Huh? What? Look, I'm sorry. This is just ridiculous.
Fuck up! You got people in front of this car!
Oh!
Let me get my load where I needed to kill, bro. Let me go.
Okay, so let me just summarize what's happening so far. So this truck driver, he's wearing a white beater. So I was like, okay, where is your uniform? But nonetheless, he is driving this truck. He's carrying a load from what he just said. Yet he is stopped in the middle of the road because of these quote unquote pro-Palestine supporters. And I'm using air quotes in this case because a lot of times these protests and these coups that are happening, they're being infiltrated by chaos agents, by people who are hired by the government to bring more chaos, more strife, and just more conflict than needed. You know what I mean? So like when there are some quote unquote peaceful protests that start off as peaceful, oftentimes they're infiltrated by specific people to bring chaos, to bring strife, to bring some level of discord. And I think this is the case here with these Palestine activists. They're being performative. They're coming across very entitled. And I think they're hired agents. I do. Here's my hot take. They're hired agents. It's not okay for you to block this truck driver from delivering his load. Do you know how essential truck drivers are? They bring our essential goods to grocery stores from farms to other areas. Like, they are essential. They're needed in our society. And you mean to tell me these pro-Palestine activists are blocking this truck driver from getting to point B? Huh. It doesn't make any sense to me. I think this is a hired agent. These are hired agents to bring chaos, conflict, and strife.
Bro, bro, I don't want to hear that now, bro. Call your boss and tell him we're here.
Like, what is this man supposed to do? Tell me. Is he supposed to call Palestine and be like, hey, look, I need y'all to call off this war? He's supposed to call Israel, hey, Israel, I need you to call off this war. Because they're blocking me from delivering this load. You gotta be out of your mind.
I don't give a fuck, bro.
Call him and tell him that, then.
You mean make a fool of myself? None of this, bro. You're impeached, fucking trash.
Stupid ass motherfuckers. And they're covering their faces. They're wearing these colors that represent Palestine, I guess. But what are y'all doing? Well, like, how is this helping the bombs that are being dropped in Palestine? How is this helping the babies that are coincidentally being kidnapped and burned alive? Now, my condolences if that's really the case. I'm not saying it's not necessarily, but I'm saying it's quite convenient that we're hearing news after news after news of these Palestine babies being kidnapped, being raped, being killed. Huh? Hello? Does anyone else find that suspicious? Let me put my tinfoil hat on real quick. But no, deadass, I'm telling you, it doesn't make any sense. These are agents of chaos that you're seeing here that are disguising themselves as activists and virtuous people. And don't you care about the babies? No, no, because y'all don't even know these fucking babies. You stopping this truck from delivering items to grocery stores where you buy things for your home, for your well-being, you're stopping them for what? How is this truck driver going to prevent this war from continuing?
Cool. That's the fucking idea.
And had he ran them over, he would have been in the wrong. I don't either. At this point, I don't. Again, my condolences, but let me get to my workplace. Let me complete my job. You're preventing me from doing my job. What are you doing? These carefree college students who want to appear so righteous and so, you know, these justice warriors. Shut the fuck, move out of the way. Move out of the goddamn way. Yeah, so back to Kendrick Lamar. Basically, yes, I don't expect. I don't expect Drake to be this cautious rapper. He never started off like that. And I don't want him to pivot into that at all. I like Drake for who he is, as he is. No matter how vapid he may come across, that is fine with me. What I can say, I'm saying this like I have like intel. What I can say from Kendrick's camp, what they told me was, no, anyway, I like how Kendrick dropped his records. I sound so freaking old. He dropped his records at the timing that he did. He pretty much crushed the impact of Drake's record. Well, which one was it? It's been like 10 songs. For the casual rap listener, you know, rap fan, it's been hard for me to kind of remember, wait, this is the name of that song. Okay, it started off because of Kendrick was on the Future song with Metro Boomin. And then he said, fuck the big three, homie, it's just big me. Okay. I was looking forward to Cole being a part of it, but he tapped out. Gotta respect your mental health. Anyway, I think it was a great battle. Okay, let's talk about the allegations, right? Okay, so the allegation is that Kendrick is a wife beater, like literally, not figuratively. Do I believe it? Let's look at the context here. Kendrick is short. Kendrick is short. Let's talk about how short he is. Kendrick Lamar. Okay, he's a short man. He is 5'5". Hello? If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. He is 5'5". What is typically associated with short men? Say it with me. Napoleon Complex. Say it with me. Napoleon Complex. Okay? What do you mean by that, Miss Morency? I'm not at school. No, but it is a complex that a lot of short niggas deal with. This idea of feeling inferior because of their height. So they compensate it in other ways, right? I can't change how tall I am or how short I am. I'm gonna be very aggressive in other areas to demand my dominance, to demand respect. You will respect me. And oftentimes that demand for respect and authority could come across as you being physically abusive, right? I'm mad at something that I can't control, so I'm gonna show that in an unproductive way by hitting my wife. Look, obviously I'm not in their household. I don't know what's going on. But I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised. Hello? He's from LA, Compton. Look, I'm not from that area. I'm not. I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of... Look at Tyrese. I mean, look, Tyrese hasn't been accused of hitting anyone. But what I'm saying is there are some areas, some of these men are unhinged. And if it's not developed in a way that's creative and productive, right? It could be manifested in unproductive, dangerous ways. Now, thankfully, K-Dot has the avenue of his rap career, his artistry, all of that. He's more than a rapper, right? He won a Pulitzer Prize and he's very respected. He's revered in the community. But that nigga's still 5'5". Hello? I mean, if I was a man and I was 5'5", I would be pissed. Hello? Is my mic on? I'm serious. I would be. Eventually, hopefully I will have gotten over it and just find the strength in myself and love how God made me, but it's understandable. I get it. I'll be upset too. Like, what do you mean? I'm a man. I'm a whole man. I have testosterone all up in me. I better be 6'2". I better be 6'2". When I was with Leprechaun Bay, and I call him Leprechaun because he was short. So that's the thing. He was shorter than me. Not entirely shorter than me, probably like to my shoulders. And he would demonstrate his dominance, not physically, not in the sense of like I was afraid for my life. Absolutely not. If you don't get your ass on my face, if you don't get your who are you talking to? And mind you, I wasn't as loud as I am now then. I wasn't. I really grew into myself over the years. Thank God. But yeah, I still have my personality, but I feel like I wasn't as confident then. Nonetheless, I don't think I would have dealt and stayed with him. Like, I still was like, no. Yeah, if he was doing anything like that to me, I would, no, absolutely not. I know people say, oh, I would have been, no. I would have left. And honestly, there wasn't a lot that was holding me down. Because you know how, he hits me, but the dick is so good. You know, things that really shouldn't matter, but it does blind your judgment. It blinds you from making the right decision because you're so infatuated by the sexual chemistry. That wasn't there. I stayed in that relationship because it felt like the thing to do. It felt like, well, I want to finally experience being in a relationship. And he was my first boyfriend. So it just felt like the thing to do. And so that's what I did until it just didn't happen anymore. And then he broke it off and it worked out. for me to get over him in 2 weeks. And that was great. Anyway, Leprechaun Bay demonstrated his Napoleon complex by being dominating in conversations, always wanting to be the one heard, always wanting to be the one speaking. You can't cut him off. You cut me off. You know, I hate when niggas say that. And it definitely stems from him and that trauma from him saying that to me time and time again, because get to the fucking point. Yeah, ADD ass. He actually did have ADD. I'm not even like trying to pull in Amanda Seals. He actually did. Like, he went on medication for it. But you know, so nonetheless, a lot of these short men, and don't be a short black man. Like, at this point. But a lot of these short men, these short black men experience and battled with Napoleon complex. So this allegation of Kendrick possibly being a wife beater, allegedly being a wife beater, I wouldn't be surprised. And the allegation of their marriage not being on stable grounds, they are allegedly living in separate homes, even in separate states, apparently. She's in LA, he's in New York City. So who knows? That could be the case. So, you know, and then there was an old video interview of Kendrick, K-Dot, on The Breakfast Club. And they asked him, well, Angelique asked him about the rumor of him slamming a woman in the club. Kendrick vehemently denied it, said that's nowhere in his character. But honestly, the way, let me see if I can find that, because I did save it in my ex profile. He responded to it in a way that was very stern. Like, no, that's dishonorable to who I am. You know, just kind of like, okay, nigga, just say no. Let's see if I can find it though. But yeah, I mean, look, maybe he's not a wife beater, you know, but I'm just saying he may be. Oh, I'm trying to find it. But anyway, he was addressed that earlier on in his career. And I am not entirely taken aback by such allegation. Okay, so Drake being accused of being just a horrible... Oh, there we go. I found it. Okay, let me go ahead and share the screen again. And make sure you are watching this episode on YouTube and you are subscribed to the YouTube channel of Built Like This Podcast. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But let's go ahead and watch this quick video.
Yeah, because it's foolish.
Story about you. And I was like, there's no way this is true.
Yeah.
When they said you were in Vegas and you beat some guy bloody and you did something to some female.
Yeah.
And they said they had evidence and all of this. And then I never heard anything about it again.
Yeah, because it's foolishness. Mm-hmm. That's the most ignorant stuff I've ever heard made up.
Did Kendrick do that? I doubt it.
And, you know, that person who ever made that up owes an apology. Not to me, but to women that actually go out there and get abused. You dig what I'm saying? That's a real...
And look, maybe that's just how he's... Well, it's clearly just, that's just how he speaks, right? That is his speech. That is how his tone is. It is what it is. But he was like, yeah, that's... I don't know. I just feel like he's a little too calm. That nigga was a little too calm for me. Nonetheless, he was accused of such a thing years ago. Where did that accusation come from? Did he just get in a fight with that man and maybe the woman was involved because the woman's boyfriend was in that fight and you know, foolishly sometimes with women, we think that we could break up a fight between men. Let me get involved, baby. No, if you don't get the fuck out of my face, let me kill this nigga. You know, so maybe it's that. And maybe he did put his hand on her, but like maybe to push her away. But apparently, according to this allegation, back in 2014 in Vegas at the Hard Rock Casino Hotel, it seemed that he allegedly was beating a woman. Who knows? But my point is, how did this accusation even come about? And yes, of course, in the industry, in anything in life, there are oftentimes people who like to make things up, who like to lie, who like to create these scenarios and paint a narrative about you. That's true. But where are the seeds at, though? Huh? How is this seed planted? Huh? Like, that is an interesting allegation. That is an interesting allegation. So anyway, who knows? Who knows? But I'm not going to say I'm all the way in disbelief of this accusation. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. He's 5'5". He's 5'5". Now with Drake, on the other hand, what I actually don't like about this is we all know Drake is half white. We all know he has a white mother and a black father. And for those who may not be familiar of how Drake came into the whole business, he started off as a child actor. He was in the show Degrassi. I used to watch that show back in the day. That was an era. If you know, you know. He was corny, right? He wasn't Drake then. He was Aubrey Graham. Was his name Drake on the show? I don't think it was. Hold on. What was his name on the show? This was years ago. Degrassi, Drake character. Jimmy Brooks. Yeah, his name wasn't Drake on the show. But his name was Jimmy Brooks on the show. He was a fully abled character on the show until his character got shot. And the character got shot because of the a shooting that took place at the high school, which was a spicy topic to be shown and demonstrated on this show. And it was very entertaining show. So he got shot so badly that he got paralyzed from the pelvis down on the show. Just his character, obviously. And he played the shit out of his role. Jimmy Brooks, he played that. But yeah, this show ran, well, his character at least ran from 01 to 09. Okay, 2001 to 2009. So yeah, so he was that Negro. I bring this up because people like to play in his face like, oh, you was a cornball before, you know, or you never was that nigga. You never was, you know, the man on the streets and, you know, this hard, tough guy. I want you guys to understand, I don't think Drake thought he could convince us that he was this tough, hard guy. Hello? I think Drake knew, okay, yeah, I grew up in the industry. I started off as an actor, and now I'm pivoting into this rap career and eventually this pop icon, which is what he is now. And that's that. Like, I don't feel like he is trying to necessarily be more than what he already is. And we have to keep in mind that people evolve. People evolve. You may be this cornball from the beginning, but you grow more heart, as they say in the streets. You know, I got heart. You gain that and you build relationships with people who have more street cred, and that naturally is bled onto you. Anyway, people were getting mad during this whole battle. You see Rick Ross fat ass coming in. Like, Rick Ross, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up and make some beats. Like Drake said about Metro Boomin. Metro Boomin, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up and make some beats, Metro Boomin. Rick Ross, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up and eat some wings, Rick Ross. God damn, he was so annoying. He was so annoying. Like, first of all, no one even added you into this beef. Why did he even make that record? And then he's going in and so stupid. And then he's trying to call him, not even trying, he called him white boy, white boy. First of all, he wasn't a white boy when he was featured on your tracks. When y'all were collaborating, when y'all were friends, seemingly, or cordial enough to work together, was he a white boy then? Was Drake a white boy then? Oh. I feel like it's awfully convenient. It's such a lazy argument to be had. So, like, we can't change the fact that he's super light-skinned. We can't change the fact that he comes from a white mom. But he is half black. Biracial identities do exist. I know we want to be so obtuse and say, well, is he black or is he not? He's fucking black and white. You got to add that and. He's white. Shout out to Melissa Ford. She's black and white. Like, Obama, black and white. Like, these things exist, you guys. Like, we're not in this, like, one way or another type of reality. He's black and white. Oh, but he didn't grow up in the... And I hate this, like, idea of, like, to be black, you had to have been raised in poverty. You had to have been on welfare and struggling and an absentee father. These, like, crazy-ass stereotypes. When sure, these are experiences of some black people, but it's not the experience of all. And these are also experiences shared with other ethnic groups. There are white families who come from broken homes, who come from poverty, who come from an absentee father, who come from drug addicted homes. Like, all of the stereotypes that are frequently and conveniently placed on black homes and families can easily be placed on white families, white homes, Hispanic families, Hispanic homes, every socioeconomic, ethnic background. Cut the shit. Oh, Drake didn't grow up in the... What? You don't know what culture he grew up in. Either way, he's still a nigga. But you know, nonetheless, if he wants to say the N-word, let him say the N-word. I don't feel like we have to keep on gatekeeping words. I think I'm over that. Like, can we just move on from that silly-ass mindset? And, oh, well, because Drake, he comes across more black than Logic, for example. Logic is half white and half black, but his phenotype is more of a white man. He passes as a white man more than he does as a black man. We can't help that. He can't help that. That is just how his DNA is set up. Does that make him less black? He's still half black. He still has a black father. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, do y'all even know who I'm talking about with Logic? Let me go ahead and just show a quick picture. This nigga looks like a white man. Hello? He is a full-on white man. Had he not said, yes, I am half black, you wouldn't even know. Look at this man. Look at this man, y'all. This is a white man who is also half black. He is half black. Yes, he is. As goofy as he looks. But he plays on that appearance, and it is what it is. And he does say the N-word. Funny how I said the N-word and not the actual word when I'm talking about Logic. Because no, this I'm sure he's black. Let me correct myself. Hold on. No, but he is half black. Anyway, he gets a lot of strife for speaking on his upbringing and using words that are catered to black men or black people. Either way, he is a black man. There we go. That's his father. A black man. A black man. Yeah, he's kind of on the light side, so that kind of explains it. But even his hair, you know, and that's just how DNA works, child. That's how DNA works. That is how DNA works. He was born to Robert Bryson Hall, a black Maryland native, and a white mother. Between his father and mother, he has 7 half siblings. It is what it is. Anyway, everyone's trying to just kind of, it's just so convenient. It's so convenient to play this like race card. Who's more black? Who's not? Cut it out. It's just so childish. So when Rick Ross kept on saying, white boy, like, shut your fat ass up. Yeah, shut your fat ass up, Rick. Fat ass. I'm dead ass. That shit was so annoying. Keep this between Kendrick and Lamar. It's like, obviously, Kendrick and Drake. But no, Lamar came through. But yeah, it was an interesting time. It ended with Drake's final record. At least at this point, I don't think Kendrick will return with another record. Who knows? And the allegation of Drake being an asshole and seemingly a bully. Probably. I mean, it could be true. It really could be. He is and has been at the height of his career for such a long time now. He continues to pair himself with hot and popping artists. So his relevance is still intact. He's very strategic about it. But the allegation of him possibly being a pedo, I think pedo is even a harsh word to say. I feel like when you think of pedo, you think of a child. You don't think of someone who is quote unquote preying on 16, 17, 18 year old girls. Now, I haven't heard anything regarding him preying on 16 and young girls like that, but close, who just hit 18, who just hit 17 and about to, you know, who's about to turn 18. There's been some rumors regarding that. There is this clip of Drake. Let me see if I can find it. Of Drake on stage. I don't know if I'm pulling it up. Anyway, he's on stage earlier on in his career, and he brings this woman up on the stage with him, and he's like feeling on her. After he felt on her, he then asks, and he's to the mic. He's on stage. There's a whole crowd. He's asking her, "How old are you?" She says she's 17. Why couldn't y'all guess? Why couldn't y'all screen the women before you bring them on stage? Maybe it was impromptu, maybe it was spontaneous, sure, but still. Nonetheless, this is earlier in his career. I'm sure he was very ignorant and foolish at the time, but people are using this as an explanation, as evidence. This is, he's a predator. Look at him. He just felt on, first of all, did she not go up there? Was she forced to go up there? Oh. No, she wasn't forced. She wanted to be felt up on by Drake, who at the time wasn't obviously this grown man as we know him today. But at the time, let's say he was in his early 20s. Like, there's a spectrum. I know we don't want to say that regarding sexual relationships or any sexual interactions between men and women beyond a certain age range. But there is a spectrum. If you are 22 and you happen to be a famous rap artist, and you bring a woman who look to be older than 18, but she happens to be 17, and you bring her on stage, does that make you a pedophile? I think not. I don't think so. I feel like we use this term so loosely. We do. Like, hello? We use it so loosely, just like narcissists. Everyone's a fucking narcissist. Some people are, but I mean, maybe not. Maybe they're just assholes and they're just unaware of how they come across. But narcissism is not as common as we assume it to be. For us to use a term so loosely, cut it out. Anyway, I don't think Drake is a pedo. I don't. But I think it was such an easy angle to focus on that Kendrick got a lot of points for that during the battle. I do. And the way that Kendrick is giving it up on those records, he's making it seem like Drake is a scary bad guy. He's a scary bad guy. Look, there are women who have risked their relationships, who willingly broke their homes because of a night spent with Drake. Does that make Drake the bad guy? You know, I guess he's quote unquote Mr. Steal Your Girl until Trey Songz came along. But even then, Trey Songz is kind of on the outskirts. I don't know what's going on with him right now, even though I am such a fan of his music. I guess he learned from R. Kelly. In all the ways, in his music and in his actions. God dang. Allegedly. The point is, Drake stealing women from their relationships is such a silly ass thing to say. How am I stealing someone who's a grown ass person who can make decisions of their own? How am I stealing them? Are you a child? Are you being kidnapped? Are you being held here against your will? No, these women who spent the night with Drake, who followed him around and was his girl for 3 months, 3 weeks, they chose that life. They chose to leave their families. They did. Anyway, so Kendrick was so catchy and creative, and it was just such a TikTok approach, which is what Drake said in his latest diss. Like, oh, you listen to TikTok and you're creating these raps and rhymes based on hearsay and based on TikToks. Because you could go down a whole rabbit hole of people talking about Drake being this quote-unquote pedo. And it's a lazy argument. But despite it being a lazy argument, Kendrick argued it well. He rapped it well. He's talking about, you know, if you let your child be around this man, you know, pray for your kids, or however he said it. He said it so cleverly and like, oh my gosh, should I clutch my pearls? Should I be more diligent with my child around this man? I feel like that is how he was coming across. He's talking to LeBron and Steph Curry. Don't have your kids around Drake. Like, relax. Drake is not this boogeyman. Are we okay? And I still think K-Dot won, but I just thought it was just so interesting. Like, dang, I felt bad for Drake in the sense of I generally don't believe he's any of those things in specifics to being a pedo. I just think it's just a lazy argument. And because we're in these times where, or when, because whenever you say like, anyway, you gotta say when. When you're in these times, the lie is more attractive than the truth. The propaganda of being this supporter of anyone who says, he hurt me, he abused me, is the thing to do. Or else you're not a virtuous person, or else you don't support justice, you don't support, you know what I mean? So there is a pressure to immediately believe and immediately be on this bandwagon in accusing someone of such a heinous act. It is so detrimental to someone's character. Now, do I think Drake would be canceled? No. Drake is so much bigger than the Black community. I'm sorry. I know he's getting mollywopped in these battle raps, except for the one with Meek Mill. But with Pusha T and Kendrick Lamar, even though some people could still make an argument, no, Drake won. You know, to each their own. It was a very entertaining battle. We won. I won. Academics won. Like, the receivers of this content won. Nonetheless, I think, is that my favorite word? Nonetheless. This is a really cute word. Nonetheless. Anyway, I think because of that, Drake has transcended Blackness. Like, I'm not Black. I'm OJ. I'm not Black. I'm Drake. Drake is out here. Now, is he revered as one of the top don't mess with, you better run for cover type of battle rapper? He's not a battle rapper. Kendrick Lamar is. Pusha T is. Anyway, well, there we have it. Your long-awaited analysis of this K-Dot versus Drake battle by me, your host, Maxine. You're welcome. You're fucking welcome. Okay, let's talk about Pastor Keon. What a transition, huh? I'm gonna go ahead and play this clip. Okay? I'm gonna play this clip. In this clip, you're gonna see him at church, at his church. This is a church I used to attend. I was a member of this church for some time earlier on in my years living here in Houston, Texas. I have long since not left the church. It wasn't like this, like, walkout necessarily. I just decided not to attend anymore. And a lot of people are feeling like he is an unworthy, or just he's not pastoring correctly. He's not someone who is doing his job well, and that's why people are leaving the church, right? If you grew up in the church, if you grew up in the church in a sense of like 5 days a week, 7 days out of the, like, every day you're in the church, Bible study, Sunday service, youth service, Tuesday night prayer, another Bible study. It's just, there's always something going on. A revival. Like, can I take a nap after school today? I go to church. Anyway, I grew up in the church, okay? In a Baptist Haitian church. So I understand all that happens in the church. I understand the etiquette that one should have in the church, especially while praising and worshiping. Now, if you're not familiar with what etiquette do you mean? Doesn't the Bible say come as you are? No. Cut it out. Let me stop sharing the screen real quick and talk to y'all big screen. Because I'm hearing that a lot. I'm hearing, well, the Bible says come as you are. Jesus says come as you are. The church doesn't say come as you are. You better come correct. There is an etiquette one must follow when in a church. There is. People don't say that. It's just so weird to me. When you attend mass, by mass, I mean these Catholic churches, I don't hear people say, come as you are. But there's an understanding to act a certain way. There's an understanding to not call out and be of disturbance to others. There's an understanding. It's only in the Black church that I notice, well, come as you are. Jesus said, no, nigga, dress right. Stop talking loudly. Why are you smacking your gum? Why are you chewing gum? That's number one. Why are you chewing gum in the house of the Lord? You know, there's all these things, and it's just so weird to me. Like, no, stop slouching around. I want to say, don't have unkempt hair, but y'all probably looking at my hair like, but shut up. If you say anything about my hair, you are anti-Black. Do you want to be anti-Black? Okay. Anyway, the point is, no, it's a lazy-ass excuse when people say that, come as you are. No, get yourself together. When you go to a job interview, do you come as you are? Do you just roll out of bed coming as you are? No, you wash your ass. You wear an unwrinkled shirt. You prepare lines as they ask you, tell me about yourself. Tell me about yourself, Maxine. Why do you want this position? What makes you stand out? I'm like, shut the fuck, give me the fucking job. Hey, I'm coming as I am. Is that okay? No. You gotta play the part. I'm sorry, Amanda Seals, you don't want to hear that, but you have to. There are certain areas, like, you have to code switch. It doesn't deny your Blackness. What does that even mean? Like, oh, if I'm code switching, then I'm not accepting my fullness as a Black person. So Black people don't know how to act. Black people don't know how to behave in other environments and accommodate accordingly. That's what code switching is. You are accommodating to the environment that you're in. You have to do that for survival. That's literally your survival methods kicking in. Anyway, so yes, I believe in code switching. Guess I get how it's exhausting. You want to just be like, oh, bitch, what the fuck you want me to do today? Like, I get it, but I also feel like we have to keep in the forefront. Your focus is to survive and preserve your well-being overall. So anyway, come as you are. So people are having a hard time with Pastor Keon in this new clip of his that has gone viral, so much so that it is popping up on my timeline or my feed. And it's of him shushing a worshiper, someone not even in the audience, actually. This person here, after I watched the video, while I was watching the video, I noticed the woman is in the choir. She's on stage with him, and she is the woman who is apparently bringing disruption and ruckus. Okay, let's go ahead and watch this clip, and let's break it on down. Let's break it down. I lift my hand. Okay, if you guys are hearing this intently, you'll hear there is this screaming noise in the background. She's like, she's literally doing that in the background. We don't see her yet. According to this footage, we do not see this woman yet, but we definitely hear her. Let's bring it back. I lift my hand. Y'all hear her, right? Like, are you a pterodactyl? Ma'am. Hey, ma'am. Are you a pterodactyl? Oh. And now he's speaking in tongues. Okay, now tongue speaking is a language given to you by God because you are filled, no, given to you by the Holy Spirit because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's hard to really explain it beyond that. If you know, you know. It's literally one of those. If you grew up in the church, then you know what I'm talking about. If you study the church, then you probably know what I'm talking about. But it's one of those things where you have to experience it to understand it. It's not necessarily rubbish. I mean, it depends on what you believe. If you think it's rubbish, then that's what you think. But it's not based on how it is described to be. It's a language given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's connecting you to God even more. Maybe this is the official tongue of God. Who knows? But nonetheless, that is what he is speaking. Because you may be listening like, wait, what is he saying? He's speaking in tongues. That's a language for that. And you see, everyone else is mute. Everyone else is quiet. Pastor Keon is singing, I lift my hands in total praise to... Okay, hold up. If you are watching this on YouTube, you see that I'm showing the video via X, formerly known as Twitter. And this person's account, her bio says, when I met you, I admit my first thoughts was to trick. You look so good. I suck on your daddy's dick. Hello? I literally verted my eyes to the right and I saw the word dick. And I'm like, hold on. And then I saw daddy's dick. And I'm like, hold on. Let me read this again. Child, I'm just trying to watch this video of this pastor. So he's annoyed. Y'all heard that? Let me run it real quick. He's singing, he's praising, he's worshiping the Lord. His hands are up in surrender to God's will, okay? He is in the moment, but he is distracted by this perpetual cry in the background. Is it giving pterodactyl? Is it giving cat? What's going on? Hey. So he says, shh. He cuts off his singing midway because, girl, what is happening? Hey.
Stop her.
He snaps at her. He's not only snapping at her, he's walking towards her. Just watch.
Hush, hush.
Snapping at her.
Silence in the name of Jesus.
He says, hush, hush. He points directly at her face. Then he says, silence in the name of Jesus. Now, you got to add the in the name of Jesus part. Why? Because you're saying it as a command from the Lord. The Lord wants silence. The Lord wants order. And the Lord wants to be heard and not be distracted from. And your cries, your excessive noise making over there is distracting others. That is why he's saying in the name of Jesus. To also kind of cover his ass too. To not, I think that there's this covering that happens when you say in the name of Jesus, because you're saying it's not about me. It's not about me at all. It's about the word of God. It's about God himself. So I'm just running back and play that real quick without interrupting y'all.
Hush, hush. Silence in the name of Jesus.
I lift my hand.
Silence in the name of Jesus, but I'm going to keep on singing. You shut the fuck up so I can keep on singing. And everyone can hear my voice.
The only voice I want heard is his.
And now he's making it clear, oh, this some more. I only want God's voice heard. I only want the blood of Jesus filling this room right now, not her cries, right?
All praise.
So there we have it. Now, do I agree with how he handled that? Yes. Yes, I do. I do. And I know it's more acceptable to say, no, he could have handled that better, or he was being rude. I'm reading a lot of these comments. They're saying that he was horrible and this is why these prosperity pastors shouldn't, blah, blah. Look. If you were not born in the church, then you will understand that there is, again, an etiquette that one should follow. And you have to be mindful of how your worship affects others. You are not in this church alone. There are other people around you praising and worshiping and trying to hear God's voice and trying to feel his presence. But you're over there uncontrollable, hooting and hollering, and is everything okay? It's not ever that deep. Okay, maybe it is, but the point is, you have to be aware. And some people do lack self-awareness. Some people do lack awareness when it comes to their worship style. It's one thing to sing, it's one thing to shout, but read the room. If you're the only voice and noise, because that's really what it is, the noise coming from your mouth. If you're the only noise being heard, you have to step out, ma'am. Again, I grew up in the church. This is commonplace. I've seen this so many times. Like, so I'm used to stuff like that where it's been distracting, just completely unnerving. I've seen women in particular, but there were some men disturbances as well. But I'm remembering one woman in particular who would always shout and convulse. Her body would convulse in the middle of our worship. And it's during the time when the worship is now quieting down, but she's still, she's doing all that. Get the fuck out of here. This is not the place. Do that in your basement. Do that exorcism shit in the basement of your house, not in the church, of your house. Go back home and do that. What did we do? Hello? Yo, but the proper protocol for that, the etiquette for that, is to excuse her from the sanctuary. So when that happened, all those times back when I was growing up in the church, deacons of the church will gather her smooth on up as she's convulsing, as she's doing the most, gather her ass up, bring her downstairs to the basement, and tell her to shut the fuck up. But they just gave her some water, quieted her down, prayed over her. Because really what it is, if y'all need to understand, it's a spirit. There are spirits in the house of the Lord that are not of God. There are spirits in the house of the Lord that are not of, how could that be? It's the house of the Lord, because the devil still serves as a distraction no matter where you go. There is no like threshold where he can't step his foot in and tempt you with some things or someone who is distracting you from God. So there are so many examples of people who would overexert themselves during times of worship, and that serves as a distraction from God. Because now you're focused on that woman, you're confused what's going on with her, when instead you should be silently in prayer, open vessel to God. But you can't, because now your attention is elsewhere. That's an agent of the devil. Okay, again, we're spiritual beings. We are operating in a physical body. With that being said, we're all susceptible, unfortunately, of being used by other entities. In these cases, when you have someone in the church overly distracting you, being so unaware of how they're coming across, that is of the devil. So yeah, she needed to be shushed. She needed Pastor Keon to be like, silence in the name of Jesus, because that's not of God. God does not do that. God does not distract you from his word and from what he's trying to spill out into your life. But you notice how as soon as he said, quiet, like he confronted her head on, he went to her face, pointed at her, and then said, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that was done because he knows what's up. This is not of God. You know, when people distract you from worship, from giving God worship, that's not of God. So I am in full support of Pastor Keon doing what he did. That's what he needed to do. And mind you, when I was a member of the church, I remember because there was a different campus that they have. I don't know if they still have that campus. That campus that I went to was more so for younger adults, and it was more of a young vibe per se, if that makes sense. When he would, so he'll pastor there as well. And there was this woman in the congregation who was very distracting. While the pastor was pastoring and giving his sermon, she would always call out and say, yup, I know that's right, yeah, ooh. Literally every noise, every ad lib that you could think of, she was doing. She was doing that while everyone else was listening and receiving the word of God, taking notes, praying, reflecting, but being quiet. You have to be quiet to listen. You have to shut the fuck up to listen. She wasn't shutting the fuck up. So unfortunately, he has had this experience more than once that I've been a witness of. And it's not about him being a mean guy or, oh, he couldn't handle it. No, that's the best way to handle it. Straight on, in the name of Jesus. He pointed directly to her. He wasn't being passive by saying, hey, whoever that is, you know, let's quiet down. In the name of, I only want God to hear my voice. He was direct. Because that shit, not only is it annoying, let's face it, it is annoying. But beyond it being annoying, it's not of God. It's not of God to be that distracting in the house of the Lord. It's not. Cut that shit out. Bring that shit outside. But yeah, as soon as he said the name of Jesus and he pointed directly to her and walked towards her and kind of shook whatever distraction from the devil that was on her, didn't she shut the fuck up? Okay. So who knows? Who knows if she was really in the spirit of God and was just so overwhelmed and forgot her self-awareness, or she was performative, right? But because there are some worshipers in the house who want to be seen as the worshiper. Oh, look at me. I cry over God. I am raising my hand. I'm doing this. I'm shouting hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I'm doing all that, right? People want that. It's so funny. Yo, church culture is quite interesting, to say the least. I want that attention. So I'm going to be the best worshiper. I want you to look at me as the best worshiper. And hell, she was at the pulpit? Oh, yeah, I want attention. So I think it's that, too. I think there's something about that, like, this desire for attention, this desire for all eyes on me. Shout out to Pac. All right, ladies and gents, thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry for the late episode, but we are here and I'm glad that you're with me. Make sure you are subscribed and you are following this podcast on Instagram. You're subscribed on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. All of that is greatly appreciated. Shout out to all of my subscribers, old and new. We are in the 200s. This is crazy. I started off with 12. And I was like, well, it's going to be me and these 12 people. Hello. So to be here is so, so appreciated. And I am so looking forward to the community that we are continuously building. So shout out to you all. Make sure to tell a friend, and I'll check in with you all next time. Peace.